Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 72, Automotive Suspension Systems, Past to Present. I'm going to give credit right up front. Every once in a while, if those of you that have been following these podcasts, every once in a while I will do a podcast where I will basically read from an article that I've printed out, okay? And typically I found this article because of, I was doing research for that particular podcast, and I ran across something that was like, wow, I can't say this any better, you know, in my own words. I've only done that 2-3 times or whatever so far. The rest of them had all been, you know, my own notes and things that I put together and obviously made a podcast out of it. So I am going to say this particular one is going to be, I'm going to basically be reading an article that I printed out that, gosh, it's just so thorough and the way it's worded and the flow of it is just so good that I didn't think I could really do any better. So anyway, here we go. We're going to talk about suspension systems. When most people think of automotive performance, they think of power, the need for speed, the roaring sound of the engine, and how fast the vehicle will go from 0 to 60 miles per hour. However, all this power and speed is useless if the driver is unable to control the vehicle and is not comfortable while driving. Therefore, the automotive suspension is a crucial vehicle system. The primary functions of the suspension system include maximizing the contact between the tires and the road surface, providing steering stability and good handling, evenly supporting the weight of the vehicle, including the frame, engine, and body, and ensuring the comfort of passengers by absorbing and dampening shock. Your vehicle suspension system works hard to withstand a considerable amount of stress compared to other major vehicle systems. The suspension system consists of tires, the air in the tires. Frankly, I hadn't thought about that one on my own, so it was like, wow, that's pretty good. Springs, shock absorbers, struts, arms, bars, linkages, bushings, and joints. The suspension system components are located between the frame of the vehicle and the road. Well-tuned suspensions will absorb bumps and other imperfections in the road, allowing the people inside the vehicle to travel safely and comfortably. The tires and the amount of air in the tires are a fundamental part of the suspension system. The tires are the only part of the vehicle that come in contact with the road. This means they have to steer and put power to the ground simultaneously while also being responsible for stopping the vehicle. The suspension system requires the wheels and tires to travel up and down to absorb the shocks from bumps. The rubber tires and the air in the tires also soften the ride over hard surfaces and conform to slightly uneven and rough surfaces. Shock absorbers, also known as shocks, are hydraulic oil-filled cylinders that force the suspension to compress and decompress at a consistent rate to prevent the springs and vehicle from bouncing up and down. Shocks are velocity sensitive, meaning they are smoother when dealing with light bumps and put up more resistance to big bumps. The primary purpose of the shock absorbers is to control spring and suspension movement and make sure tires maintain contact with the road. Many vehicles use struts, which are similar to shocks that sit in the center of a coil spring. Strut assemblies consist of a coil spring to support the vehicle's weight, a strut housing to provide rigid structural support for the assembly, and a strut cartridge within the strut housing and spring to control spring and suspension movement and make sure tires maintain contact with the road. By the way, these struts are talking about, this would be called a McPherson strut front suspension, okay, which, by the way, came out in early to mid-70s, approximately. That's off article, by the way. That's just my own little bit I threw in there, just to let you know. A strut assembly is a major structural part of a suspension. It takes the place of the upper control arm, upper ball joint, and shock used in conventional suspension systems. Struts perform a dampening function like shocks. Internally, a strut cartridge is similar to a shock. A strut assembly provides structural support for the vehicle's suspension, supports the spring, holds the wheel and tire in the aligned position, and ensures the tire maintains contact with the road. Struts also bear much of the side load placed on a vehicle's suspension. As a result, strut assemblies affect ride comfort and handling as well as vehicle control, braking, steering, wheel alignment, and wear on other suspension components and the tires. Most modern vehicles have an independent suspension on the front and back, allowing each wheel to travel independently of the others. Some vehicles use a more basic, what's called a beam axle. The only beam axles still being used in new vehicles are live axles. A live axle is one that supports part of the weight of a vehicle and drives the wheels connected to it. The problem with the rear tires that don't move independently is they always keep the same angle relative to one another rather than relative to the road surface. This means less traction and less predictability in handling. This is one reason why an independent suspension is almost universally adopted by automobile manufacturers for the front and rear wheels on new vehicles. An independent front suspension allows each front wheel to travel up and down with the spring and strut assembly bolted to the frame on one end and a control arm or wishbone on the other end. A control arm is attached to the front of the vehicle near the center at one end of the arm and the steering knuckle at the other. A wishbone does the same thing except it attaches to the frame at two points, causing the piece to resemble a wishbone, hence the name. The movement at connection points is softened and absorbed by bushings. The positioning of every component in independent front suspension systems is very important, as the front wheels have to steer and maintain consistent alignment to provide safe vehicle operation. An independent rear suspension uses the same technology as the front without consideration taken for steering dynamics, as the rear wheels usually do not steer. Another quick thing is that there are cars coming out today with potentially four-wheel steering. So that last statement is not 100% correct, but very few cars, frankly, right now in this day and age, which we're in the year of 2020, very few cars have four-wheel steering, but it is becoming more of an idea and more prevalent. So back to the deal here. Rear-wheel and all-wheel drive vehicles have a differential mounted to the frame in the middle of the control arms or wishbones, while front-wheel drive vehicles have a very simple rear suspension, needing only springs and shock absorbers. Shock absorbers and springs provide all the cushioning and compression when the suspension moves. Springs provide force to hold the sprung weight off the wheels and to resist compressing. When the ride of a vehicle is comfortable, it means the suspension has good road isolation. The suspension is able to move up and down when needed without excessively jarring the vehicle. Just enough feeling from the road reaches the driver so they will know of any alarming road conditions and feel a rumble strip if they enter the shoulder of a high-speed road. The feeling of the road is essential to keeping situational awareness while driving. Of course, that's going to become somewhat obsolete as far as whenever we get to autonomous cars, because now you're simply a passenger riding along. You don't necessarily care about steering feedback because you're not even steering the car anyway, but time will tell. Body roll occurs when the body of the vehicle leans to the outside too much when cornering. All vehicles have some body roll when going around a corner, but if the body rolls too much, the shift in weight can cause the vehicle to lose traction on one or more wheels, steer out of the turn prematurely, or the vehicle to spin out of control. If the body begins to roll too much when cornering, the handling will be negatively affected, resulting in a shift of the traction to one side of the vehicle more than the other. This causes the inside tires to lose traction and possibly leave the road surface. Suspensions that provide good road handling will, for the most part, help prevent this. Bottoming out happens when the tires hit the body of the vehicle when the suspension is compressed. This happens when the vehicle doesn't have enough suspension to absorb the force of the bump it is traveling over. Rubber bump stops can prevent this by providing a cushion between the suspension and the frame that prevents the tire from moving up and high enough to strike the body of the vehicle. But if the bump stops are inadequate or missing, then this problem can occur. Bottoming out can easily damage the body or suspension system. A vehicle's road holding ability is measured by how well the vehicle can maintain good traction and even weight distribution when different forces are involved. To feel stable when stopping, a vehicle needs a suspension that will not let the front dive down when the brake pedal is depressed. For smooth acceleration, a suspension that prevents the vehicle from squatting down in the back when accelerating is required. Shifting weight gives half the wheels most of the traction, wastes power, and results in poor and inconsistent handling characteristics. A traction problem called bump steer occurs when hitting a bump causes the vehicle to turn left or right without the driver turning the wheel. Poor alignment of the suspension can cause the wheels to be angled in a way that this causes this issue. A traction problem called oversteer occurs when the rear of the vehicle loses traction when rounding a corner. If the body rolls too much when cornering, the shift in weight may cause the rear wheels to lose traction. Having the rear wheels at an angle that doesn't sufficiently allow the tire tread to meet the road when cornering can also cause this problem. Understeer is another traction problem. This occurs when the front wheels lose traction when cornering and results in the vehicle drifting towards the outside of the turn. Similar to oversteer, excessive body roll or improperly angled wheels can cause the front wheels to have poor traction when cornering. Understeer is especially dangerous because front wheel drive vehicles steer and provide power with the front wheels. The less traction the front wheels have, the less the vehicle can steer effectively. Both oversteer and understeer are amplified by slippery road conditions. Just something I wanted to add in here that was not part of it was that most cars have a certain amount of inherent understeer built into them. Now, based on what I was just saying and what the article was saying, it sounds like that wouldn't be a good thing. But what happens with understeer in layman's term is that you are steering into a corner, okay? And what happens with understeer is that the front end of the car starts to do what is called plowing, okay? In other words, it wants to continue going straight or straighter than what it should be based on what you think the amount of input of steering wheel input you put in, okay? So you put in what you think is the right amount. The car has understeer. It wants to turn less than what you think. Of course, the way you naturally correct for this is simply by applying more steering. In other words, you just turn the steering wheel more, and the car will, you know, hopefully, again, follow what you're requesting of it, okay? So most people, without any kind of training or anything, can naturally correct for understeer because you simply put in more steering wheel rotation, okay? Oversteer is a whole different thing. That's where the rear end is now coming around. You're basically going into a spin that's starting from the rear. The vast, vast majority of people would have no idea how to correct that, okay? So this is where you hear people talking about understeer or the front end wants to plow. Neutral steering, which is what they hope for in like race cars, it means when they are going around a corner that basically the whole car just drifts out. In other words, because of centrifugal forces, it wants to drift out towards the outside of the turn. But it does it equally. There's no understeer. There's no oversteer. The car just drifts out equally. So, of course, in that case, the driver can either let up a little bit on the throttle or, again, just input more steering, and the car will follow the different line that they've inputted. Okay. So that's kind of the differences. Understeer, neutral steer, oversteer. Okay. Technology is constantly improving suspension systems and addressing issues mentioned in this article. There are passive and active suspension systems. Passive systems are what most of us are accustomed to, and suspension movement is determined entirely by the road surface. Active systems proactively control vertical movement of the wheels relative to the vehicle frame and body with an onboard computer system. Active systems can be divided into two classes: pure active systems and adaptive semi-active suspensions. While adaptive semi-active suspensions only vary shock absorber firmness to match changing road or dynamic conditions, active suspensions also use some type of actuator to raise and lower the chassis independently at each wheel. Active suspension system technologies allow vehicle manufacturers to achieve a greater degree of ride quality and handling by keeping tires perpendicular to the road in corners, allowing better traction and control. An onboard computer detects body movement from sensors throughout the vehicle and controls the action of the suspension. This high-tech system virtually eliminates body roll and pitch variation in many driving situations, including cornering, acceleration, and braking. There are few other components on modern vehicles as complex as the suspension system. A great deal of work goes into creating the suspension system, which must be durable enough to ensure ride quality and maintain the handling of the vehicle, two elements that work at odds against one another, while simultaneously withstanding an enormous amount of stress. Still, with so much movement and force happening within the suspension system, parts inevitably wear out or become damaged. Noises are one of the first signs of a suspension issue and commonly accompany the failing of bushings and other components, like ball joints. Serious potholes can even cause the vehicle to bottom out so badly that its components can bend or break. If you are experiencing squeaks when going over bumps or dips, unusual clunking or rattling noises while driving on uneven roads or over potholes, oversteer traction problems, understeer traction problems, bump steer traction problems, excessive body roll, bottoming out, excessive bouncing when going over bumps, leaking shocks or struts, or the handling of your vehicle just does not feel right, have your suspension system inspected right away by an ADAC-certified technician. Okay. Wow, that's a mouthful. Not much to really add to it other than, again, the components of the system, depending upon what there is. Most cars today certainly have what's called the McPherson strut type of suspension, which usually means the strut takes the place, like the article says, about the upper control arm and bushings. There usually is some kind of lower control arm or arms for the suspension, even with a McPherson strut suspension. There's going to be bushings, ball joints that can wear. Rear suspensions on performance cars can have multiple control arms. Okay, you can have most modern BMWs, the rear suspension is called a five-link suspension. Okay, there's actually five control arms or links that go between the chassis or the subframe and the rear wheel spindle. It can be, you know, the technology that's behind there and the design and everything, there's a lot going on. Okay, so suspension systems, like the article says, they're very important. They can totally affect how the car rides. And, of course, as things wear out, it affects how the car feels and it rides. And it can eventually become, you know, a safety type of an issue. So, again, like I was talking about in the previous episode about steering systems, this is stuff you want to have checked visually. From time to time, I personally myself, especially as cars get older, I would say to have a vehicle check or a very thorough visual look over of the whole car. I would say every 6 months, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, a person, you know, the only reason to me it would go longer than that is if someone hardly doesn't drive the car very much. Okay, national average of miles driven per year in the United States is 15,000 miles a year. California happens to be 19,000 miles a year. Okay, that's the averages. So, you know, do the math. If the car is 10 years old, it could potentially have 150,000 to 190,000 miles on it. And you could be pretty well rest assured, at least with a BMW anyway, that there's been some suspension and steering components replaced already just because of some normal wear and tear. Okay, so it is important to have those things looked at. I would certainly encourage you to do that, to have your car looked at in some kind of a timely manner, because it's not just your, you know, safety and reliability. It's also, if it's your ability to be able to avoid an accident. I mean, if a car has got loose suspension or steering or something, and all of a sudden the, you know, soccer ball comes out from the neighborhood kids out in the street and the kids following behind it, your ability to be able to control that car properly comes into play right there. So, you know, it's up to all of us to have our cars properly maintained and repaired as needed. So you go from there with it. So I hope you found this enlightening and got some good information from it. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I am, of course, as usual, on LinkedIn. So you can pick me up through there. I do certainly have a shop in Southern California that's called Brad's Motor Works. And I'm usually there Monday through Friday from 8 to 5:30. And got a couple websites if you want to check me out on that. And if you're in the area, you know, Newbury Park, Southern California, why give me a call, maybe stop by, say hi, and we can talk about the podcast, whatever, and go from there with it. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening. I hope you got something out of it. And again, as usual, have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. And thank you again for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.